In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
All that stuff is really interesting, but we should actually start. You walked in and I'm like, I shouldn't record this part, but then we're talking and I'm like, this part could be good. I should put this on, but now it's lost to everybody but the cats. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that the NAACP, the Anti-Defamation League, and the White Power Movement can all agree on. They all agree it's awful. They hate it.
That's right. We bring peace to so many disparate groups.
Yes, we bring a common enemy to the rest of the world.
That's right.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 43?
That's right, 43.
Have you started looking it up before you show up?
No, but I'm going to be 43 in 6 weeks.
So. Oh my God, you're old.
So I remember this time.
Oh, you're so old.
I know. I'm almost dust.
I wondered what that was about. You look about 2 foot shorter.
Yep.
This time.
I don't have much longer.
So welcome to the podcast where we have a magical hat. It has its own email address. You write to the hat, and we draw things out of it that you write and talk about them until we're bored.
That's the magical part.
Isn't it magical?
We're pulling things out of this hat, and we don't even know how they got there, except we know that you sent an email that had that particular question or comment on it, and now it's giving it to us in the form of these little pieces of paper that we pull out of it.
So it's magic.
It's magic.
What it really is it is science so advanced that we cannot differentiate from magic.
Right.
It's from the future or aliens or something.
Right.
Yeah. So, how's William? This is our first episode of 2012.
Yes, it
Happy
is.
New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us for 43 episodes.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And we're closing in on having a full year's worth of episodes ourselves.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, near St. Patrick's Day would be it. Wow.
So did you even stay awake on New Year's?
Yes.
Did you just stay awake till 11 and watch the East Coast broadcast and then
like when I was a kid?
Children? Yeah.
No, let's see. What did we do? We did something. Up until, I think video games were being played pretty much all day.
You do like nothing, and the few times you do things, you can't remember what they are.
Well, because I'm not usually doing anything, I'm watching other people do it.
Okay. You played video games. What'd you play? What did you watch people play?
Well, Skyrim is the big game in our house right now, of course.
Yeah, but can the whole family sit around and watch people play Skyrim?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And Uncharted.
You know, we have a Skyrim themed meme.
Yes, I
we do.
That.
From took, the producer took herself.
Took an arrow in the knee.
Yep.
Uncharted 3.
Oh, yeah.
I believe we had in the house by then. And we know what you did. You did role-playing, and then you watched those two movies. Or did you do something else after all?
Well, we watched more than just those two movies. We did role-playing for 5 hours. It was hilarious. My group, I'm so proud of them. They totally went in a direction I was not prepared for. And then they managed to get into a fight that was 6 people with guns against a very angry goat. And they almost lost.
Jeez. Some goat.
They killed the goat, but they were hurt enough that they had to take an extra 2 days rest to heal up from the damage. I don't know that the goat was so impressive as it was that people with only minimal training in guns should not be firing their weapons in a small campsite in the dead of night. They did a lot of shooting each other.
Well, what did What'd the goat do to make them so upset?
The goat attacked them. The goat spontaneously attacked. It was a crazy goat.
Well, goats can be pretty bad, but...
What it comes down to is there's weird, weird magnetic fields in the mountains that they're going to.
Oh.
And there is a native population of goats that just basically batshit crazy at this point.
Right, but a goat can only do so much damage, really.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, this is evil alien goat. So this is, you know, remember vampire elk. This is the same planet that gave us vampire elk.
Oh, I didn't know there was a planet that gave us vampire elk.
I told
you
about vampire elk.
You did?
Yes, from earlier session. They had vampire elk. They had a nasty... was an elk with, like, sharp hooves and fangs and stuff. Oh, it was awesome.
Okay.
And they coined the term vampire elk. So this is the same planet that gave us up. And it wasn't as scary as that, but it was a pissed off goat with fairly sharp horns.
Okay.
But mostly they just kept shooting each other. They shot an NPC on accident, and when one of the guys ran out, one of the completely unharmed guys ran out to perform first aid on this guy, somebody accidentally shot him bad enough to knock him unconscious in one shot. It was not a good day for them.
What should they have done?
Well, it's tricky. One of them actually had a melee weapon.
Oh, and could have used that.
Yes. And they all made some attempt. She didn't actually draw it. They all made some attempts to... well, not all of them, but there were several attempts at unarmed attacks towards goats.
Oh.
These did not go well.
I see.
These resulted in a lot of missing goats or tripping over goats. And there was a lot of... like, flashlights would get turned on, but then the individuals who held the flashlights would get shot, and so the flashlight would fall down. One person in the group actually has a non-lethal weapon. That was the medic who got knocked unconscious.
Oh, so much for that.
But he actually has a stunner. But yeah, it was a little bit crazy. It was funny, though. But anyway, so did that, and then we had dinner, and 6-minute homemade... pressure cooker mac and cheese is a real thing and a tasty thing. It was awesome.
Good.
And we watched Flash Gordon. Still hilarious. We watched Black Dynamite. Still hilarious. I was worried. You know, it was my second time watching, so I'm like, you know, is it going to be dead? No, it was still awesome. And then we found we had miscalculated and there was still like 2 hours left before New Year's. So I did not pick it, but somebody else picked. The third Underworld movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always find hilariously bad. But I'm kind of sick of it now. But fortunately, by that point, it was like 10 o'clock. Most of us had drunk heavily enough at that point that it was just basically like a giant episode of Mystery Science Theater through the whole thing. And then we finished just like moments before New Year's. So, of course, what do you do when you've been drinking steadily for 5 hours? Beforehand, somebody had to pour some champagne.
Oh.
So, we did a champagne toast. And then we hung around for a while. I don't remember. We watched some stuff. But at a certain point, the producer and I both had the independent thought that it's getting late. And we're tired. And there's not really an easy way to sort of disengage. So, we were both waiting for the other one to say something. And finally, the producer said something to me about that. So, then we went home. But it was a very fun time.
Good.
And the producer and I finally finished Dungeon Siege 3.
Oh, okay.
Almost killed us. Actually, literally killed us several times.
You mean your characters?
Yes. We died a lot. That game has so many final boss fights. Oh, serious. There are like 5 fights that technically are against the end villain. It was insane. We kept being like, okay, this is done. Wait, we're not finished? There's another room? Okay. Wait, they fled to where? We have to go there now? Oh, it took forever. But we did it. We killed it. We beat the game. It was pretty cool.
Good.
What about you? Consume any media other than watching people?
Play video games.
Play Skyrim? And
not really, because we've had quite a few video games come into the house. Because kids got money to spend and stuff, so...
No movies? There's a wave of actually not crappy movies out now.
Yeah, I know, but we got, let's see. We got Resident Evil 5.
There's a fifth one?
Mm-hmm, which has a cooperative campaign in it.
Oh, game. Okay, I was thinking of the movie.
No, game.
I was like, we're not to the fifth one of those.
And let's see, what's the other game? There was another game that we have, too. But we also got a PS3 Move package.
Oh, yeah.
With we bought it in a bundle with a gun. And
you guys bought a gun, and it happened to have a video game.
Well, you know, no
accessories.
It's a bundle where you get the Move, which is the camera and the motion.
The lollipop looking thing.
And then a navigational control. So because there's two controls with the Move.
Yeah.
And we came in a bundle with two games, Resistance 3, and Killzone 3 and Resistance, just Resistance.
Fall of Man, I think is just...
Or whatever. It was one of the Resistance games, and Killzone 3. And this gun thing that you can put the controllers in so that you can use a gun and shoot the screen, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And the youngest was using that today, and it's kind of hard because the lollipop-looking thing goes into the barrel of the gun because that's the thing that's actually pointing and shooting. And then your navigation control goes into a little handle like you'd be holding if you were holding a machine gun, you know?
Yeah. Oh, like a support up front. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
And so in the game, when you move the gun to shoot somebody, that actually moves the camera of your whole view. And on the navigation stick, which is in your, I don't, would it be your, I shoot a different,
probably your left hand.
Okay, in your left hand. So your right hand is on your trigger, and you've got this handle at the front of the gun, you know, like a machine gun has, where your navigation control is. So that's actually moving you forward. So you'd be using your left thumb to move you forward and aiming the gun to actually look places.
See, I have trouble with this. I mean, I don't play first person because I'll puke. But sometimes this happens in third person where one thumbstick is what direction you're moving and one thumbstick is what direction you're facing.
Looking, yeah, right.
I always have difficulty with
that. It's like that, except you actually are moving the gun.
Right, with the thing, yeah.
And so it took them a while to get the hang of it, and the controls are really sensitive. But after a while, you know, it was kind of cool to watch him playing this game and it's in first person, right? And you see the gun in first person, but he's also holding a gun and looking through sights and everything, and it was kind of cool to watch him do it. I don't think I'm coordinated enough to ever do it.
I agree.
I'd probably just throw up, too, anyway, because I have motion sickness pretty bad. But it was kind of fun to watch him do it. And the Killzone 3 is, I mean, I don't even know how he can do this because it's very chaotic. You know, there's explosions and there's gunfire and you're in an urban environment, so there's lots of stuff around. It's a very chaotic game to play. I mean,
this is war, man. This is what schools are teaching the kids now.
Well, and people are yelling at you.
Teach them urban assault. Seriously, that's what it's like in like junior high now. Constant, you know, assaults.
Well, I'm sure it's very different from the actual thing, but it seemed really chaotic and confusing. I couldn't get through it, but he seemed to know what he was doing.
He's been trained.
I guess.
When they say the code word, hosed. I've been playing more Assassin's Creed. I've now killed four people.
Oh, that's the other game we've got.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
Well, I haven't played it. Huh. He's been playing it, and it looks pretty cool, I guess.
The first one is supposedly way suckier than the later ones.
Oh.
The first one broke a lot of ground, but then they discovered issues, which the later ones fixed. But to be fair, actually, I think a lot of the original issues with the first one have been fixed in updates. Because there were some stupid things involving side missions that I talked to people who played it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that now. So I think updates changed some of that. Mm-hmm. But I've now killed four of what will theoretically be nine people. I'm getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, he just really started it. He seems to like it all right.
It's kind of neat. It's sort of original mechanics in terms of the sort of stealth action gameplay, at least for me. I never played like the Splinter Cell ones and stuff, so it's kind of fun. After this, I'll play Mass Effect 2, though, because everybody keeps bugging me about that. They all want to talk about it, and I hate spoilers, so. And we saw a movie.
Oh, what'd you
see? We didn't go see a real movie. like in the theater.
Oh, okay.
But what we saw, because we had never seen and we wanted to see. Oh, scary. That's what I sound like when I'm talking and yawning, people. We saw the remake of Fright Night.
Oh. With
Colin Farrell, David Tennant, the kid who plays Chekhov.
Yeah, actually, for some reason that came up recently, and I was looking at it thinking it might be interesting to watch. Well,
the producer is a big fan of the original Fright Night.
Okay.
And in fact, a few years ago, she discovered I had never seen it, and she made me watch it. Hilarious. So, yeah, so we were kind of excited about this. But we heard that it's more... I'm going to move the mic, people. Get ready. It was kind of hanging on the edge there. You got to talk more into it. I'm way back here, and still I'm picking up better than you.
Okay.
We heard it was more horror movie and less comedy than the first, so we were kind of hesitant seeing the theater, but then we finally saw it.
Well, how was it?
On pay-per-view. Extremely disappointing.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I don't want to speak too much for the producer, because I always get in trouble when I do that, but she seems really not happy with it. I found it really boring.
Oh.
It had good bits. David Tennant's hilarious and awesome in it, but his part isn't that big. Yeah, it was disappointing. It was very disappointing.
Why are people doing this? Why are they remaking old things like this?
I was just reading some articles today along the line. From a modern marketing perspective, they think it's a safe bet. A remake or a sequel is, in the minds of modern public relations, an existing property that we know people will want. So we are not taking the risk of an original property. Which is why they're planning to do a sequel to Bridesmaids, even though they aren't getting Kristen Wiig involved, who was the main character and did a lot of the writing for it.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, so it's just marketing.
It's the belief that it is a safer financial bet.
Right.
Than an original property.
But that strikes me as something you would use as a justification to do it after somebody already suggested it. What's making someone even come up with the idea to do these things? Are they looking at something that was successful and saying, well, gee, we should do that? Or, I mean, do these things ever really do well?
I think they make their money back.
Like,
sequels are huge. People make... Look at the freaking Sherlock Holmes ones. I mean, sequels are huge. Remakes. Footloose was a walking piece of feces, the new one.
Well, yeah, right.
Still made plenty of money. Especially for what it cost.
Well,
because of the nostalgia factor and for people like me and the producer who felt we had to see what the fuck was going on. Even though we knew it was going to suck.
All right, but who did this first?
George Lucas.
You think George Lucas's improvements, quote unquote,
people have remade movies for years, and theoretically, the original impetus was the movie. The story is somewhat out of date now. People in this day and age don't necessarily relate to the time and place context of the original film. So now we're gonna do it with modern sensibility, so people can relate to the core message in a new way.
Right.
I think that's the original argument.
But it almost never...
Not anymore,
you're saying...
Now it's like, dude, people paid money to see this, let's just do it again.
Yeah.
Hell, they're still... Well, actually, it may not happen now, and I'm very happy about this, but they're going to reboot... They're going to do Buffy again, the Buffy movie again. They already have rebooted Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Coming out this year.
Well,
and you know what? People will fucking pay money to see it.
Well, yeah, but that's a little bit different because if you're a person who's familiar with comic books and how they work, rebooting a story, a comic book story, is like, yeah, that's what comic books have been doing forever. So doing it in the film doesn't seem like a big deal.
But why do you think comic books do it?
Well, okay, I know why comic books do it, because after a while, the characters get overwrought with this, you know, backstory, and there's hardly anything you can do new with the characters, and you practically have to reinvent them. But that's because comic book stories are serialized for
yes.
years and years and years.
And that's
and
why
that makes sense.
And that's why you sometimes have to do that. First you do the sequels, then you do the reboot. Because when you start to do enough sequels that you know this third one was really shitty and we're running out of stuff, nobody gonna come see a fourth one. Okay, we'll reboot it.
What, again, which I understand if you've got something that has several stories in it. But
if you don't, then you just have to reboot it because you can't really make a sequel.
Yeah, but...
Sequel to Footloose is tough.
I guess.
Sequel to Fright Night, well, you could have. But that's the thing. Nobody's willing to make a sequel 20 years later.
There's something I can understand, too, is if they want to turn something into a serialized thing, but like you just said, it's hard to make a sequel 20 years later, so we need to reboot it so that perhaps we can have more than one.
Oh, William, every single movie that is made is with the idea of potentially having a serialized.
You think they made Footloose with the idea they might make more than one?
If Footloose had made enough money, I will bet my life they would have made a second one.
Yes, they would have. You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Any major studio film, if it's successful enough, will have sequels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people who've been paying attention may think that I should understand this because I've talked about how I was working on a story that was based on A Christmas Carol, except with a rock star and everything. But I don't consider that a reboot. I just consider that a retelling.
But in Los Angeles, that's what they think you're doing,
well,
that you're rebooting.
I suppose.
Also, people who have been paying attention know you well enough to not be surprised by this at all. It's a Williamism.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm saying, let's tell the same story, but that story was centered around greed. Let's center the story around a different, you know, vice, so to speak. So it doesn't strike me as being the same.
Well, and that's sort of what modern reboots are doing. They're saying, let's stop centering the story on whatever the particular message was the original time, and now let's center it on explosions and tits. That's pretty much what all the remakes are.
Okay.
You're like a savant. It's just amazing.
What do you mean?
Sometimes just very insightful, and other times you're like, how do I button this? if somebody can help me dress myself, I'm going to go find the grand unified theory today.
Well, you're telling me it makes money, and I have to take your word for it, but it doesn't seem like it's making money, so I don't know why they keep doing it. But if it's making money, I guess...
They hope it's making money, and most, I mean... Lots of the reboots and stuff do. I mean, they fail. They continue to fail. But, I don't know, the stuff I read seems to think that it's not just a proven track record. It's a fear. It's a fear on the part of filmmaking executives that you don't want to take a risk. And it seems less risky to redo the shit you already did that was successful than to come up with new shit.
Except that risk is offset by the increased probability that what you're going to make isn't going to be any good.
Which doesn't seem to register, which is why the article I read today about the sequel to Bridesmaids said, apparently, given enough time, even Universal forgot about Evan Almighty. Which I thought was hilarious.
Maybe they just don't think that there's something somewhat inevitable about a reboot or a sequel being worse, because... It's not inevitable. Sometimes you come up with something really cool.
Every once in a while they get better.
But for the most part, it's not just that you're making something that is in a property that's already sold well. Because it's sold well, it's almost a sacred cow, and you there's a really good chance you're going to screw it up. So just totally neutralizes the whole...
And in executive filmmaking speech, that's... No, what you're saying is the original one is really niche, and we're going to make this new one broadly appealing and sexier and more modern.
No, but what...
Proactive. It's going to be very proactive.
No. What,
we're going to call him Poochie.
Usually what they do, though, is not that at all. What they do is they try to find the things people liked about the first one and do it all the same stuff again in the next one. Maybe it's just in a different city... Or with a different sidekick.
And explosions and tits.
And that's one of the reasons why it doesn't work, is because they don't change anything. There isn't actually any progress in the story.
Okay, I forgot. We're hitting William number one thing. The reason they do it is people, in this case the people making the decisions about the films, are stupid.
Yeah, okay,
William.
But... I just don't understand how they can be afraid of one kind of risk but not be afraid of the other kind of risk.
Because they are too stupid to see the other kind of risk.
But why? What makes them see one but not the other? They're both risky. They both would make someone say, gosh, maybe we should
have. It's their particular brand of stupidity.
Oh, I see. The glasses they're wearing, a particular tint.
Well, and it's the flavor of the industry, I think.
Yeah, right.
The industry has this idea. It takes a long time in something like an industry or even in a corporation. It takes a long time for the culture to accept a new dogma. And the current dogma is that there was a Nerdist episode with Tom Lennon and Ben Garant who are the guys from Reno 911, and they were in the state and all that, and they have written a freaking billion and a half movie scripts, and they've everything. The one of their more successful is they wrote Herbie Fully Loaded.
Oh.
And they have put out a book called How to Write Movies in Hollywood for Fun and Profit. And they talked about it, and it basically, they want to scratch out the part fun and. This is the way to write scripts that will get purchased in Hollywood that will earn you money. Lots of money. It has nothing to do with art. It has nothing to do with your vision. This is the profitable way to do it.
Well, one of the reasons I came up with this idea for the Christmas Carol thing was because of that.
You want to make money?
No, because I know that something that's based on a property that people are familiar with and that they think will sell. I've got another idea that's a very similar thing, which I could turn into an original property, but I've got an existing property I want to tie it into because I think that by doing that, I have a better chance of someone reading the script.
William's such a sellout.
Well, I also...
Well, but wait a second. If that's the case, then what are you asking me? You already know the answer. You're doing it yourself.
Well, except that there's also an artistic reason in both cases.
Oh, yeah. Artistic.
Well, there is, though. But...
You're telling a Christmas carol from the perspective of tits and explosions.
No, look.
That would be a good one, actually.
I'm not tying these things to existing properties because... I mean, that's not my initial reason for tying them in. My initial reason for tying them in is because it worked artistically. But I think that they have a better chance of someone wanting them because they tie in.
You want to see how that... you want to see the best example of how that operates? Look up sometime the story behind the creation of the film Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights.
Okay.
The original script for that, which was not called Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights, was a touching political drama / love story set in Cuba, written by Peter Sagal of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Huh.
And it got turned into Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights. It's entirely possible that the freaking original script for the Footloose reboot was not Footloose when it started.
See, but see, both of my things were originally for established properties.
Because you are a sellout.
No.
Because you are a money-grubbing whore.
No. Because...
Yes.
No, because...
William, this is an intervention.
Because
we brought you here.
I read the original properties and I thought, oh, this would be a fun thing to do with this original property. And then also I thought... That this
people
would also,
will pay me if
no,
I rewrite
that,
it.
That of all the stuff I've done that's original, this is probably the thing that most people would be interested in because it's not entirely original. Although I thought I was doing something original with it.
Until you admit your lust for cash, I don't think we can have a serious conversation about this.
I don't think anybody, not even you, would ever believe that I have anything like a lust for
your
cash.
Your obsession yeah. with money.
Yeah. That's the first thing people think when they...
Yes.
People who know me, the first thing they think is, God, that guy
totally.
Wants money so bad.
Seriously, when we are not recording, he goes on and on about how the Pussycat Dolls had it right and, like, what they managed to achieve financially with very little effort.
That's me.
He patterns most of his life after the Kardashians.
I don't even know who that is, really.
It's really...
It sounds like you're talking about aliens from Star Trek or something.
I kind of am.
Oh.
I'm talking about Bruce Jenner's family. Don't you know them? Bruce Jenner, the Olympian.
No.
Anyway, I'll put it to you this way. You know how pissed off you were when we finally talked about Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
You should be way more pissed off that we've mentioned the Kardashians. Way more pissed off.
That bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know Satan?
Yeah.
Satan makes fun of the Kardashians.
Wow.
Like, yeah. I know, because he and I hang out.
And then people laugh.
About once a week. Me and Satan get together.
Yeah?
Yeah. I felt bad today. At work, we had a conversation involving somebody talking about wanting to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow me and another person managed to segue the conversation into talking about Lord of the Rings. And later I'm like, I think we may have kind of spit on that person's belief system. And the other person was like, no, we didn't. And I'm like, I think we might have.
That's too bad.
For those of you who hear weird noise in the background, ignore it. It's we're torturing a Wookiee. It will soon stop crying. Don't worry. See? Done. Actually, I think she may have just turned it off. It's a fan that's got some problem with it, so it makes that noise. But eventually it goes, like after a minute or so, it stops doing that, and it's just a normal fan. I sprayed some WD-40 on it, but then it came back. So, whore for power and fame and money, I remember. Okay, we've gone about over an hour. I'm not going to pay you for it, but would you like to move on to the hat?
Yes.
Okay. We can do that then. Oh, but first, craft dinner. Supposedly, one of our listeners brought me back another box.
Yeah.
So that I can actually make it.
Oh, so you can save one.
So, you know what this means?
No, I don't know what it means.
I buy a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I would cook them both. Taste test.
Taste test.
You in?
No.
I didn't think so. All right.
I am not in.
I thought not.
There's in like Flynn and there's not in like William.
Exactly. I'm not in like William. That's a terrible, terrible rhyme. Okay, who's it from? Who's it from?
It doesn't say.
Oh, anonymous. Curse you.
It says, dear hat, get your asses to the QC. What's the QC?
Oh, I think it's the Quad Cities.
Oh.
And I think I know who this is, and I think that they meant to sign it. But they didn't, so too bad.
Just our asses? That sounds bad. Maybe we should go with our asses, because...
This was a thing for a while, back when we were more popular.
That might be painful. Back when we were more popular.
Well, I'll put it this way. I know, I am confident in only one person still listening from the Quad Cities, and that's our friend Blue Claw.
Oh.
I do not know for certain that Veramon still listens. I do not know for certain that Useless Trivia Man still listens. I do not know if they ever told any of their friends. But back in the day, when we were more popular, when we were fighting off the groupies with a stick, we had plans. We were going to go to the Quad Cities and record some episodes with them.
Yeah, because there were people there.
We still should make this happen at some point in the future. But William doesn't like going places and doing things.
I like going places and doing things. I just don't go places and do things very often anymore because I'm old.
Unless you pay him.
No.
Or make him famous.
Whatever.
You should see the true Hollywood story on William.
You know what? I think there's been a... I don't think I've presented my case here at all very well, and I think you're completely misrepresenting me.
That doesn't sound like me. That doesn't sound like
all that happened was I was doing my usual storytelling shtick, and I realized that two of the stories I had might actually be something that people would read, see, or enjoy. And it was because I'm not an idiot. I know that people
Because you're not an idiot.
I know that people are going to be a lot less interested in my original stuff than stuff that relates to something they already like. I know that.
Okay.
So that's why I got excited about the two things that were tied into something else. But I didn't tie them into something else to make money.
Okay.
I tied them into something else because it's what worked for my storytelling. And then I realized this might be my best bet for actually having something that people enjoy and hear and see and like.
Okay. When you retell this flimsy concoction of a story in civil court pending your copyright case, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Scale it back to one thing you wrote that people might
I'm not gonna...
Because honestly, the idea that there are two pieces of things that you wrote that other people might read, nobody's going to buy that.
Well, but
two of them?
But
I mean,
there is. But the thing is, I'm not going to do anything if I can't... You know, I'm not going to make this stuff without permission from the people who own the property.
Yeah.
So that's all there is to it. So it'll probably never happen.
I want Christian Bale to play Scrooge. Also, his girlfriend wants to play Bob Cratchit.
There's no Scrooge in it, technically.
Well, then you just totally ripped off something that didn't have Christmas Carol. have you stolen now?
No, but there's a Ghost of Christmas Past and present and future, I guess. But I kind of want Jack Black to do it, and I think he would. If he saw what I have written up, I think he'd like it. I really do, honestly.
You want me to talk to him?
Yeah, why don't you talk to him for me? Well, no, I know you don't. You know Satan, who knows Jack Black's.
Well, yeah. This thing that we get together for, all three of us.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
among others. There are several other people there who I may mention later if it comes up spontaneously. I'll let you know.
Okay. There could be lots of people there.
There are lots, which I could tell you now, but I'm choosing not to, and it may just come up in conversation.
Like Scott. He's there. You'll get to know him. He's awesome.
Scott. Scott's a jerk.
Hey. Okay, whatever.
I wonder if we have a listener named Scott who's like, what the fuck? Why are you bugging me? Yeah, you, Scott. We hate you. You're an asshole.
Not my brother, Scott.
No. He doesn't listen.
No, he doesn't listen.
No. So we can talk smack about him. All right. So we should get our... I still think we should get our ass to the Quad Cities.
Okay.
But, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Quad Cities ass may come here soon. At least partially.
Oh, no. Half the ass is going to come and
half
the rest
the Quad
of the
Cities
ass.
That's like two asses right there. No. There is some discussion on the Happy Jacks board. Iowa City has a small gaming convention called GammaCon in February.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Huh.
And there is some discussion of varying people. We discovered there's a lot of people sort of in Iowa or near Iowa who are Happy Jacks fans, more than we thought. And so there's some discussion of sort of bringing them all, having them all show up for GammaCon and we'll all like hang out. And that's going to include any of our listeners in that area, especially from the Quad Cities. So.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to make something happen there. Maybe I'll talk to the guy at Two Dogs and see if we can do something there.
Two Dogs.
Two Dogs Brew Pub. Because I got to take them all there because there's good beer there. And that's a thing amongst discerning Happy Jacks listeners. Eze! What are you doing here? Yes, you. Yes.
She wants to be on the podcast again.
Well, it doesn't help if you point your anus at the microphone.
Well, yeah, I was getting a little worried about that.
Yeah, Ezzy has some of the worst gas in this house. It is terrifying. Don't you? Well, how come now you're quiet? Like, usually she won't shut up.
I know. I thought maybe if we gave her a chance, she'd say something, but she didn't.
Okay. Well, screw her. I'm drawing something out of the hat.
Okay.
Ta-da. Also anonymous.
Wow.
The night of 1,000 people we don't know.
Anonymi.
Yes. What's the most interesting, surprising, disturbing, whatever, thing you have ever read on Wikipedia?
I don't know.
One of Thor's powers is ventriloquism.
Yeah, that. I think you've mentioned that before, but I didn't read that, so that's you.
I didn't either, actually. The producer read that to me.
You know, you see things like you'll be reading an article and then something about someone will have put something about Justin Bieber in there or something as a joke. But other than that,
I haven't read a lot of fake ones. Like where people put in obvious bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Except one time, when I was trying to look up a sort of proto-meme that I had picked up from somewhere online, and I found out that somebody had basically included it into the Wikipedia entry in question, but it had immediately been taken down.
Mm.
So what I saw was like a Google cached page of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, what is the baby using?
What is the baby using?
What is the baby using?
I don't know any. What is that?
The proper answer to that question is 25.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
I'm going to wait. Maybe in the future I will explain it. But for the time being, I'm going to give major bonus points to any listeners who can figure that out and post about it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. If you know what is the baby using, 25... then you're awesome.
Okay.
And we will give you a shout out next time.
I sure don't know.
But Wikipedia has entries for every number.
Yes.
And there was a cached version of the page, of the Wikipedia page for 25, and it had a list of what all the things that were 25, and it had a line in it that said what the baby's using.
Huh.
But then somebody had taken it out.
Isn't that adorable?
It was bullshit. Today, oddly enough, I read the Wikipedia entry on comic book supervillain Solomon Grundy.
Okay.
He's really had an elaborate life for being really an uninteresting villain.
With a really odd name.
Well, no, it's actually based off of the old nursery rhyme.
Right, and what kind of villain can you have?
Well, no, because that's the whole thing, is when he first shows up, he's a zombie who barely can function, and he doesn't know who he is, and he meets a bunch of hobos, and they ask him, and all he remembers is that he was born on a Monday. And so everybody says, oh, it's Solomon Grundy. His actual name was, I think, Cyrus Gold. Was,
oh, I see.
The guy who died and became Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about
this. He's just a freaking zombie. But, like, that has occasionally been stronger than Superman and shit like that, and was on the moon for a couple decades and all sorts of weird things. Was very odd. But yeah. I have now completed reading the Wikipedia entries for every single series of Power Rangers.
Oh, jeez.
That was an interesting thing I discovered.
Okay.
Because, see, I was the right age. When I was younger, I watched a lot of Power Rangers, and I eventually got sick of it, and they kept going without me. And I knew that originally, the beginning of Power Rangers, they filmed with the actors, they filmed a bunch of like scenes with teenage kids hanging around some pizza place or whatever, all the like dialogue scenes. But then all the action stuff, they just stole footage from a Japanese show.
Oh.
Now here was the interesting part. I had always been under the impression that that was what they did for like the pilot and or maybe the first season of it, and then they stopped doing that. No. The show has been on now for like 20 seasons, and every one, they're taking that footage from a Japanese show that's been going on for like 20 years longer than that.
Huh.
But they actually, to this day, continue, and it, I mean, and the property has traded production companies several times, but it's always pulled from there, and then they splice in the bits that aren't the action sequences using, you know, Americans and stuff. And then they dub over. Every Power Ranger's got his helmet on, so you can't tell what he's saying anyway. So then they just dub it over in English.
Huh.
Yeah, it's Sentai, Super Sentai is the series over there.
But it's basically the same show, just...
Well, the action points are, I think a lot of the plots change, because, I mean, the action stuff are just basically fight scenes.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, Power Rangers fighting giant monsters in a generic cityscape. But it's the same stuff. I was really surprised by that.
I didn't know that.
So there, the more you know about Power Rangers. Okay, that's enough for that one. Let's get a new question.
I don't even have an answer for it, really.
Because you don't ever read Wikipedia.
Well, I use Wikipedia as a resource to start my research. I don't generally
Go to Wikipedia sometime and look up the list of common misconceptions. You will learn fascinating things.
Okay.
Like, Vikings didn't wear horns on their helmets.
What? Yeah, I mean, of course they didn't. That's not a very practical way to wear a helmet.
But all every time you see Vikings, they got the horns.
That's kind
of that's total BS.
Right. Who wore horns on their helmet?
Vikings, we all thought.
I didn't think so.
It's because you're you.
I knew the characters did, but... Let's see.
Is this from a person?
Beth.
Beth! Yay, Beth.
Does Beth still listen?
I doubt it, but...
Dear the Magical Talking Hat, please describe the hat hierarchy for your listeners. Where do facilitators rate? Wow. Well, I think by now it's pretty obvious that we rate somewhere behind people who have listened to the podcast once and never listened again.
Yeah.
And the hat is first.
Yes. Well, Mark, hard hat number one, rated us in terms of... His was a popularity thing. I don't know if it was an authority measure, but just a popularity with the audience.
Yes.
And it went the hat,
mm-hmm.
the producer,
right.
You,
mm-hmm.
and me.
Yeah, I think we actually tied for third place.
Ezzy there. Was not in there, which I find surprising. Whoa. Ezzy hasn't been around as much, but there was a time when she was very popular.
Yes. But, I would say in terms of authority or you know, importance in the whole hat enterprise, the hat, of course, is number one. And
after that, it really doesn't matter.
After that,
it's all the will of the hat.
Yes. After that, of course, there are hard hat listeners.
Yes.
And
assorted hatlings, haberdashers, and
after that,
hatophiles.
And then you have people who have only listened to maybe part of an episode, got disgusted, and left.
Yes.
And then you have us.
No. Then you have people who wear hats.
Oh yeah, people who wear hats.
Yeah.
And then you have us.
Yeah. So
that's us. Yep.
If you've never listened to the podcast and you've never worn a hat, we're technically above you.
Yeah.
But you don't know that because you aren't listening.
That's right.
So
it doesn't really matter.
Really, our existence is just sad. But we try to share that with you through our podcast.
Yeah.
We're bringing the sadness to the mass. I don't even want to say masses. I think we have a mass.
It's just what we do.
Yes.
And that's the public service we provide.
I have a question.
Okay.
Why does your hat say socks on it? That's confusing to me.
I don't know.
Your socks say hat on them?
Yes, they do.
Well, okay. I guess there's symmetry at least.
You know, it's
and my shoes say bow tie.
It's a White Sox hat. Because I'm a White Sox fan.
It's a blue hat.
It's black.
Okay, it's a black hat.
Yeah.
It's not a White Sox hat. It's a black Sox hat.
The baseball team, the White Sox.
Oh, it's a sports thing.
Yes.
I wondered why it was misspelled. That was going to be the next thing I was going to...
How is
that a team? How is the White Sox like a mascot? Like, do they have a giant sock that...
Well, no. Back in the day when people...
Oh, God, you actually know the story, don't you?
Okay, well, Jesus. Never mind then.
No, I'm just... I'm impressed.
I almost didn't buy this hat or anything with this particular White Sox logo on it, because when I was in high school, a lot of people who were not Chicago White Sox fans had this merchandise anyway. And I came to find out that the reason... everyone was buying White Sox merchandise was because they thought that this particular logo, which I know you people can't see, but when you hear me say what it looks like, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, that it looks like the word sex instead of socks.
It does look a little like that.
And so everyone in my high school, not everybody, lots of people in my high school were buying White Sox stuff and thinking it was funny because they could wear it to school and wear something that said sex on it.
So William's wearing a sex hat, people.
So I almost didn't buy it, but I thought it's a White Sox hat. I'm a fan of the White Sox. I'll buy it.
This is a story about William and his sex hat. I think we might have found this episode titled William's Sex Hat. It should bump the listenership up,
I guess.
But no, so tell us the story. Why are the White Sox named after...
Well, it's the same reason the Red Sox are named the Red Sox.
That does not help me.
Because when these teams were forming...
Long ago, there were the prismatic Sox, and then a meteor struck, and no... That's the story.
Very good.
Yes.
Moving on.
I've been reading some comic book shit, so no, why are Sox Sox? Or, you know...
Because when the teams formed, a lot of times the players would be wearing, you know, knickerbockers or knickers or whatever, and you could see their socks, and they might all wear the same color socks so that you know, that was how they identified themselves as a team. Red Sox, White Sox, I think there was even a Blue Sox once upon a time. But that's where the you know, Red Sox and White Sox moniker came from for baseball teams. Now, of course, it's irrelevant now, but that's sort of stuck. It's kind of a tradition. I'm not even sure a lot of White Sox fans know why any team is called White Sox or Red Sox, but that's why. You asked. I didn't want to tell the story. In fact, I told the story that I thought would entertain you more about when I was in high school that people were buying.
Oh, it did.
This stuff.
It did. No, but here on the podcast, we are about the truth. So
no, we're not.
I wanted the true story.
This is not about the truth.
No, we really aren't, actually.
Why do you say things like that?
Our podcast is what you might call apocrylicious.
Exactly. I knew that word was going to come up.
No, you were waiting for apocrylarious.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yes, because we were talking about apocrylarious earlier. But this is apocrylarious, which we're also are. But no, I think we're apocrylicious.
Well, we often talk about the apocalypse.
No.
It comes up a lot of times.
Apocra, as in apocryphal.
Oh, I missed.
Apocrylicious. That's why I said we're not about the truth.
Yes, that's right.
Seriously, you have an education.
I am not paying very much attention tonight for some reason.
Nice. William and his sex hat.
I don't know why.
Don't have any time for you. They're just dreaming about money and fame.
I'm sorry. No. It's not that. It's just... I'm a little bit out of it today for some reason.
Busy thinking about Skyrim. Skyrim is such a ridiculous thing. I saw a demotivational poster that said, "Can't tell if breaking up with me or just got Skyrim for Christmas."
No, I just haven't had a very good day as far as being alert.
Ugh.
You ever like that when you wake up and you just...
Yeah, but it usually involves drugs.
No.
And or alcohol.
Like you're in a fog the whole day. That's the way I felt all
day. I do get those. Usually it'll wear off eventually.
Well, usually for me too, but lately it's like I'll go the whole day like that. And then when I go to bed at night, you think, gosh, you know, I'm surely going to go right to sleep, and I don't.
You know what can help with that? Meth.
No, I'm not going to get involved with meth.
You probably need to try and regulate your sleep cycle better. Exercise.
That's the whole point.
Or...
Yeah, exercise. That's
or
probably a big
one. I don't know. Possibly change the way you wake up.
Maybe get one of those alarms that gradually wakes you up with a little bell or something.
I feel like I've talked about this before, but I had... somebody in college had seasonal affective disorder. Mm. And she got an alarm that was a dawn simulator. That had a big ball on it that would slowly light up brighter and brighter, so it would simulate that, because that was supposed to be good. And she thought it was hilarious, because she was actually dating someone named Dawn at the time, so she thought that was funny. But yeah, and eventually if that didn't work, it did play, like, some music or some shit.
I just think I'm having a bad day is all. It's alright. No big deal.
Yeah, you say that, but what of... Episode 43.
Well, it can't be worse than every other episode we've ever done.
I think it could.
I don't know. That would be hard. Neither one of us would work that hard to make it worse than the other episodes.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a string of good ones, you know.
Oh, okay.
Episode 12. And Vomit Goblins. Who can forget Vomit Goblins?
Yeah, who can forget it? I did until you brought it up again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Little homunculi from my stomach.
Stop it!
Captain Jack Swallow.
Episode 12 was an awesome episode.
The best.
We were so proud of it before it disappeared. We were both very excited, thinking, wow, this was awesome, and then gone.
Killed it.
I mean, it would have been one thing if after it was over, we thought, God, that sucked, and then it was gone. I was like, wait, well, we get a chance to do it again.
See,
but no, we actually liked it.
I don't think we were as excited as we remember it now because it's gone. I think we may have romanticized that episode.
I don't know. We were pretty
just
excited.
Just a tad. Well, mostly we were just pretty pissed that we had to do it again.
Well, yeah, but...
It was hot. I hadn't had dinner yet. I get sick of looking at you.
We were pretty upset about
that. It was pretty bad. What was the question?
It was the hierarchy of...
Oh.
Oh, the hat hierarchy.
We covered that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're at about almost 55 minutes. You want to try one more?
Yeah, one more.
You're obsessed. Which means, people, you have to write. William wants to ask all the questions in a single episode. So write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Tell us what you want to know. Ask us what you want to ask. Tell us what you want us to talk about. And maybe through sheer coincidence, it'll happen.
Sheer coincidence.
Sheer. That's coincidence you that you can see
through. See right through it. Exactly. Yep.
It's sort of racy coincidence, you know. Suggestive.
Yeah. Suggestive coincidence.
Exactly. Suggestive coincidence.
Seductive coincidence.
Oh. This is from Kia B.
Oh.
Specifically. Oh, sorry. The hat and the craft dinner have gotten in a little bit of a thing over here. Anyway. Yes, this is from Kia B. Specifically Kia B.
Okay.
I hope she still listens. I think she still listens. We say that about everybody, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Except like Mark and Blood Sparrow and Stu, because they always comment a lot, so we know. Okay, anyway. Kia B says, "Dear the Magical Talking Hat," and that's all spelled out, people.
Very nice.
Kia knows how to be respectful.
Yes.
To the hat.
So does Beth. She did the same thing.
Did she? All right. Discuss the best season and holiday of the year.
Autumn and Halloween.
What about Talk Like a Pirate Day?
Whatever.
What about Pi Day?
Oh, geez, yeah.
You love Pi Day.
I do love Pi Day.
Back when William was my boss, pause for laughter, his team would actually have a potluck for Pi Day.
Yes.
Where everybody brought in pie.
Yes.
And he would lose his mind.
It was good.
You do love Pi Day. Halloween is your favorite.
Halloween is my absolute favorite holiday of all time, and autumn is my favorite time of year, bar none. And I do have to say that after autumn, I know people are going to hate me for this, but...
Fuck you.
It's winter.
I know what you're saying. Fuck you.
I like winter. Not this winter we have now, where there's no snow.
Oh, I'm loving this winter.
No, I don't like it at all.
Today was in the 50s.
But I, you know, of course I like spring. Summer is probably my least favorite season. I've never been a big summer person. Even when I was out of school and stuff, all I wanted to do was go back to school.
Oh, God, I hate you.
Because school is fun.
Yeah, all those kids wearing sex apparel. White sex, that
not,
is.
Not that part.
Because it was Melcher Dallas, Iowa.
Shut up. Man, you suck. Anyway.
I think I agree with you on autumn. I think autumn has always been my favorite. I have developed, oddly, a new appreciation for spring since I live in the Midwest, which I suppose is understandable. There is a certain sort of visceral appreciation of when everything stops being goddamn frozen.
That and people are planting. It's nice.
So I do, but I think autumn is probably my favorite.
I love the colors and the harvest and the way it smells. And
Halloween always has been my favorite holiday. I don't know. It's lost something over the years. I used to really like it. I don't know anymore. Might have to go with President's Day, you know?
Yeah, right.
No, not really President's Day, but I don't know about, I guess Halloween, but we don't even get the day off for that.
Yeah, well, I always took it off from work.
Well, now my job, I have some floating holidays, so yeah. I might have to do it.
Take Halloween off. It was, you know, I've always liked, and it wasn't really about the candy when I was a kid either, although that was fun.
Of course it wasn't.
No, it was about the hay rides and the bonfires and the sometimes on the hay rides you'd go through like a haunted forest with people in their masks trying to scare you.
Oh my God.
What? Oh, and the haunted houses that the JCs used to do were pretty cool
the
too.
JCs, yes.
Those are awesome.
I feel like there should be a drinking game of like William telling stories of his childhood.
What?
It's about the hay rides.
It was.
And the haunted house done by the JCs.
Yeah, those were great. They were, I mean, today's are like.
Can we get corn in here somewhere? Is there maybe even candy corn?
Well, yeah, candy corn. But the JCs haunted houses were not like haunted houses today. Haunted houses today are all about making you nervous all the way while you're walking through, expecting someone to jump out at you and maybe having these little scenes of horrible blood and gore or whatever.
What were the JC's haunted houses like?
Oh, man. Okay, so you go to a JC's haunted house. And first of all...
Suggested donation $10.
Yeah, I don't remember that part because I didn't have to do that.
But, that's the scariest part.
But a lot of times they were in an actual old house, which... you know, there were abandoned houses every so often while you were driving down the country roads. It might be in an old house or barn, first of all. So you go in, and at least the JC haunted houses I went to, it would be like you'd be guided through.
Oh, my God.
And they would tell, like, a story about the house and each room. And you'd stop at a room, and there'd be a little scene, and they'd tell you about it. And then, you know, then at the end, in this room, this evil doctor did his horrible experiments, and only then, you know, after you watched for a while, then the guy would come after you with a chainsaw or something. You know, they were great. They were funny, and yes, a little bit scary, and, you know, people would jump out at you and stuff, but it was a lot of different things. It wasn't just a lot of noise and strobe lights and people following you around trying to grab you like
that. Not like today, with the kids and the rap music.
But
is that your ride?
But hay rack rides were awesome, and sometimes you'd go through like the woods, and there'd be people in there to scare you and stuff. That was kind of fun. Bonfires with s'mores and, you know, and stuff like that. It's awesome. And I was in a couple haunted houses, like in the when I was in the Cub Scouts, we did a haunted house.
Of course you did.
And we did it. The haunted house was in the Legion, and
in the Legion, yes.
I wore a skull mask, and I was buried underneath straw, and I would jump out and scare people. That was pretty great.
My best friend and I would do haunted houses at our house just any time of year.
Oh, yeah. We did that too, sure.
And we'd get, like, our parents to come.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, those were, like, amazing because, like, we would basically, my garage... had one window, and we'd put, like, a blanket over that, which didn't cover it all the way. And then we'd get, like, cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, one of us would hide behind a box.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of us would hide in a box. And we would have taken, like, magic marker and just drawn, like, skulls and coffins on the boxes. And, like, the one in the box... would be, like, whispering scary things that weren't that scary. And then the other one would wear, like, my friend John's Gene Simmons Kiss mask.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just, like, jump out at the people who were sitting in folding chairs in front of us. And then we would, like, play Thriller or something. And that was it.
Well, we did the same thing at a friend's house. We put up blankets so people would walk a certain way through it and jump out and scare them. And we'd play... we had like soundtracks of scary sounds and stuff that we had from other haunted houses we worked on and stuff. So when I was growing up, you know, that's what Halloween was every year. And it wasn't just on Halloween. There were things happening before Halloween. It was almost like, you know, people do things before Christmas and stuff. There was all kinds of stuff between the beginning of October and the leaves are changing and you know, all of the neighbors are harvesting their grain and all of this stuff's happening.
Are you going to sing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year?
I think it is the most wonderful time of the year. I just have so many great memories of it. And of course, on my farm, you know, when the full moon would come up in October, it just looked huge and orange and everything. It was just great.
You never mentioned the serial killers, though.
We didn't have any serial killers. Every Halloween,
three less children would come out to see November.
Yeah, it was awesome. And Christmas was great, too, don't get me wrong, but something about Halloween was even better to me.
There are fewer hayrides at Christmas, I imagine.
But there's lots of sledding, which was great.
Ah.
And snow forts and snowmen and stuff. That's why winter...
And hot cocoa.
That's why I loved winter. We would go out, you know... It used to be it snowed every year here in Iowa, which is really sad that it hardly ever snows anymore. But we would go out.
It's snowed every year I've been here.
No, well, okay, but not like it used to. I mean, it used to be that, I mean, you could get snowed in. Like
when every down year the I have been here, it has snowed at least more than the heaviest snow I ever remember from back home.
Okay, well, here you could count on there being snow. There might have been snow on before Halloween sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I've experienced that here.
And it, not just it would snow then, but it would stay on the ground for the whole year until, you know, April.
The producer talks about how she used to think that in her mind it snowed a lot more when she was a kid. But she assumes it's because she's a kid, you know, and there's a size thing, and you just sort of romanticize. And so she looked it up one time. Apparently, no. The 70s, just shit tons of snow.
Yes, yes, that's right.
The 70s was just buried in cocaine. I mean, in snow, like, all the time. So, like...
In April 9th of 1973, there was a blizzard in April.
I thought there was one in June one time.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
It's fucked up here when it blizzards in spring in Iowa, for those of you other places... because the trees all get their leaves and stuff, and then the snow falls on them, and they crack, and branches fall off. Yeah. It's so disturbing.
But, we used to have snow on the ground for a long time. You could go out, and you could sled. We would go out, as a rule, what you learned when, in my house anyway, and I'm sure a lot of other kids who lived in that part of Iowa.
Watch out where the Huskies go.
No, don't eat that yellow snow. You can stay out a long time, a lot longer than you think, because... Your fingers and toes will get numb, but wait it out, because eventually... They'll start to hurt a little, and then it'll be fine. And you can stay out all day. You could be out in the cold for like 9 hours. Now, when you come back in and you're warming up,
you bleed out the eyes and ears. No,
the pain might come back for just a little while as you're warming up, but after that, it's fine. And you know, I still have my fingers still more or less have all the, you know, proper feeling.
Didn't hurt me none.
Didn't seem to hurt me at all.
This trip down memory lane, brought to you by William Wright and the Melcher Dallas Chamber of Commerce.
I have a lot of great memories from childhood. But yes, I love autumn and I love Halloween and I love winter and Christmas and Valentine's Day and New Year's. But in the summertime, not so much. 4th of July is okay, but...
Didn't you ever hear that Will Smith song?
What Will Smith
song? Back when we called him Fresh Prince. Summertime. Summertime. Don't you remember the song?
Nah, it's not my favorite. In fact, when I went out in the sun, I'd break out in these little...
I believe that.
In these little...
Because you are one of the whitest guys I know.
So, yeah, summer wasn't my favorite.
You with your white sex hat. Okay, well, we're almost at an hour 8, and that's before I stick the intro and outro on here, so...
Okay. You just got me excited talking about my childhood.
I think we're going to go for a consensus here in general. We like autumn. We like Halloween. We love hayrides. And the JCs. I buy a lot of trash bags from them.
They don't do haunted houses anymore.
No, they sell trash bags.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that thing of snow melt out there. Really? The JCs don't hit you up?
No.
They hit us up like twice a year.
Well, thanks, Kia B and Beth and the two Anons.
And Anonymous. Yeah. And... Yeah, if somebody can figure out what the baby's using, I'll give you many bonus points for that.
Whatever.
Which can be redeemed for Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
Do you have Chuck E. Cheese tickets around here?
No, I'm lying.
Oh.
What are you, new?
Sorry.
Apocrylicious.
Apocrylicious.
Oi.
Sorry.
All right. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, next week. Sorry. I didn't mean to mess up your perfectly
you
good
line. You have Chuck E. Cheese chicken?
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.